This week, Grammy Award-winning music director David Alan Miller and the Albany Symphony announced the orchestra's 2015-2016 season. This weekend, the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall hosts a pair of Albany Symphony concerts, which will feature solo performances by Philadelphia Orchestra principal tubist Carol, and is it Jantsch?
It's Jantsch.
Jantsch.
Jantsch. I wasn't even close.
Like with a Y.
Wasn't even close. Carol Jantsch. Carol, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for
having me. A delight to have you here. Ralph Vaughan Williams's Tuba Concerto and Reflections on the Mississippi, composed by Michael Dougherty. Both will spotlight Jantsch's solo triumphs, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Michael Dougherty to the program as well.
Hello.
Hello. Very nice to have you here. The concert's repertoire will conclude with a performance of Brahms Symphony No. 3 by the Albany Symphony. And also joining us this morning, because can we talk about the ASO without welcoming the maestro? I don't think so.
You can. You can talk about it. Talk about it anytime.
We can, but it's just not nearly as fun. David Alan Miller, welcome. Thank you very much. It's always great to see you, sir.
Joe, great to see you, and great to be here with my wonderful friends, my old friend Michael Dougherty, whose music I've done for many years,
yes,
and my new friend Carol Jantsch, who is the tuba player of the moment. And I must say, as far as I know, the Albany Symphony, certainly in my tenure, has never played a tuba concerto. Carol just told me that she's playing this concerto, Michael's concerto, at the Philadelphia Orchestra, her home orchestra, in a few months. Is that
like
right?
Next month.
And they've never played a tuba concerto. So tonight, tomorrow night at the Albany Symphony on Sunday, you get not one, but two tuba concertos with the tubist of the moment. Do you say tubist? I guess you say tuba
tubist
player.
Tubist is correct.
Tubist is correct. 40 points.
That is very good.
And it's beautiful, and she's beautiful. Michael will tell you. Michael, tell Joe how important a tuba player Carol Jantsch is.
Do you need me?
Yeah, we need you. We need you.
Okay, all right.
You're our straight man.
Just checking.
Do I need to be here? Yeah. That's the question.
We need you. What do you think about all this?
Well, I think the tuba is the most underused, the most underappreciated instrument of all the orchestral instruments. And what I've tried to do is write some beautiful melodies, and Carol plays them with a beauty which I've never heard before. So,
yeah, let's just clarify. I mean, Carol has now been for 9 seasons, or your ninth season, is the principal tuba player, the solo tubist of the Philadelphia Orchestra. Sorry, is that right?
Yes,
that's correct.
Yes.
And
yes.
And she actually started. She told me that she was still an undergraduate at the University of Michigan, where Michael is a distinguished professor, when she won the job at the age of 20. Her very first gig was playing with the Philadelphia Orchestra at Saratoga before she'd even graduated from college. So she is unbelievable, and the idea that she's playing two tuba concertos is just too exciting for me, as you can see, because I'm just beside myself.
What brought you to the tuba, David, as far as...
Oh, brought
wanted,
me?
Yes. Well,
What brought you to the tuba, Carol?
Carol, too.
I'm a trombonist. That's what brought me to the tuba. I sit very close to them as a trombonist.
But wanting to make it a part of the program.
Well, it's really Michael's piece. I mean, Michael's piece was the impetus for this, in that I heard the piece. I thought it was fantastic. We're going to be recording it on a disc that we're doing of three amazing concerti, tuba, flute, and percussion, with the great Dame Evelyn Glennie next season. For Naxos. So I just wanted to feature Carol, and the idea that we could get Carol, who's got this wonderful connection to us via the Philadelphia Orchestra, they summer at Saratoga, obviously, and that she plays it with such incredible beauty, and that I know, unlike most people, what an amazing solo instrument the tuba is. You know, the tuba in orchestra, as Michael just said, you know, just does not that much all the time, and frankly, very little, and sometimes nothing at all. Some of the greatest early composers, Beethoven, Mozart, don't even feature the tuba. And yet the tuba is a glorious, glorious instrument. So I wanted to show it off to all the people who probably have never heard solo tuba before.
For you, as being that solo tuba, what kind of I guess I'm interested in both the challenges of doing a piece like this and the delight in doing a piece like this. I mean, being in the spotlight.
I have to say that because, like my colleagues here have mentioned, the tuba isn't frequently used as a melodic instrument in the orchestra. I think it takes great creativity to put together something that features the tuba as that melodic instrument. And so, like, I have to give major props to Michael Dougherty for coming up with something that isn't frequently done, and to be have the imagination to use our instrument in such a great way. So I'm really happy that the piece came together so well, and I think it's going to be really important piece for our instrument, the tuba, that, you know, because it's such a great piece, it'll get programmed, and then people will start to hear that the tuba has all these capabilities that people didn't know about before.
And I thought it was really interesting to create the program once I knew I wanted to do Michael's piece. I did a kind of daring thing, and perhaps in retrospect, a rather irresponsible thing, because I wanted to have Carol also play the first great tuba concerto. You know, there are only about three now, counting Michael's great tuba concertos, the Vaughan Williams. I think John Williams wrote a very good one, right? And then Michael's, and Carol may know of a couple of others, but those are the only ones I know of. And so I wanted to feature kind of the granddaddy of tuba concertos. We're going to play that after the intermission, and we're going to play Michael's glory. That's about a 13-minute work, the Vaughan Williams. And it's beautiful, tuneful, you know, 1950s. He wrote it when he was in his 80s just because he wanted to write a tuba concerto. And then Michael's magnificent 20-minute piece, which is in four movements. And I think, you know, we should have Michael tell us a little bit about the piece, because it's really, it's a wonderfully soulful piece.
Michael? Tell us about the piece.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, sure. The title is called Reflections on the Mississippi. I grew up in Iowa, and when we were kids, we used to go to the Mississippi River, camp along it, and I just have great memories, and it's an icon of American history, and many of the works I've written have been iconic, dealing with American subjects and places and so forth. In fact, the first piece we ever did here was Metropolis Symphony, the Superman-inspired work, which David was involved with commissioning, and that was like 20-some years ago.
It was.
You think of the Mississippi River, you know, you have Mark Twain, you have the steamboats, you have, it's a very romantic icon of American culture, and so it inspired me to write this tuba concerto.
You have New Orleans jazz. I mean, there's a lot of, it's a very sort of American roots-inspired piece, and it's got wonderful tunes, and the first and third movements are slow and introspective and beautiful. The second and fourth are incredibly jazzy and funky and really exciting. It's unbelievably accessible while being, you know, great, serious music at the same time.
So let us talk, this is all happening this weekend at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, which is great.
Saturday night and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. Saturday night and Sunday afternoon.
Yes,
right?
3 p.m.
And you can find out more by going to albanysymphony.com. So while we have you here, sir, tell us a little bit, because you also announced the new season for the Albany Symphony, the 2015-2016 season.
Yeah, what would you like to know?
Well...
What's on it?
It's been in the works for a long time.
Yeah,
and you've brought it all together, and you're doing as you mentioned, you're bringing back some wonderful friends
and doing some
great stuff.
Yeah, Evelyn Glennie to play Michael's piece. That's a highlight. We're starting with Emmanuel Axe playing a gala concert. And as I said, I think in the newspaper, you know, he's been working for 60 years to perfect his technique well enough to be able to play with the Albany Symphony. So this is actually his Albany Symphony debut. We're very excited. And then actually mid season, we're bringing in five of his students, past and present, to do a whole Beethoven piano concerto festival with each of these young, brilliant pianists playing one of the concertos. And over the weekend, we're going to sort of tell the whole story of Beethoven's evolution through the concerti. And lots of other, you know, much more edgy, creative, exciting things. Michael Torkey's writing a brand new piano concerto for us. We're doing some Aaron Kernis and Steve Stuckey, lots of classics, Sibelius Violin Concerto, Tchaikovsky, Symphony No. 1. It's going to be a really exciting season.
As far as, and then obviously tickets are as far as for the full season, on sale now.
And the beautiful thing is we're doing the same kind of deal we have been doing the last few years, where when people subscribe to the whole 8-concert series, they get Emmanuel Axe absolutely free. So that's our incredible lost leader.
Hey, you think about it. It costs less to go to the Albany Symphony than to go to a movie these days, especially when you buy popcorn, which I always do.
Yes.
You know. So it's a great deal to go to these concerts.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Michael. I hope that's true. I'm not sure it is true, but it's certainly not a lot more money.
No, I think it is true.
I get a very large popcorn.
I'm sure you do. Michael's a very tall guy, so he deserves a large popcorn.
I think a film during like a prime hour on an IMAX screen.
That's more expensive.
A popcorn.
We weren't talking about IMAX,
and
were we?
A soda. Uh-huh. It's like $80.
It's unbelievable. Well, you should definitely come to the symphony, because it's better in every possible way.
And do we talk about Brahms?
We haven't talked about Brahms.
Let's talk a little bit about the...
Well, you know, I've sort of got all these things going on this concert because it starts with the Elgar Serenade for Strings, which is a beautiful, dare I say, Brahmsian piece by one of the great, you know, late 19th, early 20th century English composers, very influenced by Brahms, but also by Wagner, by the two big culture figures. And then we've got the Vaughan Williams Tuba Concerto, so I've got Elgar connecting sort of his two beautiful English pieces across... you know, with Michael's piece in between. And then I've got Brahms at the end, which really, again, sort of interfaces beautifully with the Elgar. So so we've got these wonderful connections between composers. Brahms' Third was his absolute most celebrated piece. He was very concerned after it was premiered because everybody loved it. The critics loved it. The audience loved it. It was a huge culture sensation. And he was very suspicious of the fact that he'd written something that was just too beautiful, too populist. So it's a gorgeous piece. It's one of my absolute favorite Brahms symphonies, and it's just a nice way to end the concert.
When Oh, we're having a photo op. That's cool. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead. That's great. Carol is Carol will be. I'm going to have you be an action shot that you're actually answering the question when
okay,
I'm
great.
Take your picture. It'll be great. It'll be really cool. So, what is it like in having the composer with you, working and having that collaboration?
It's been really fantastic. Like I said, because the tuba is not frequently used as a solo instrument, I'm really glad that Michael has taken the time to really get to know the instrument well. I came to Ann Arbor to his studio to play things through for him, and he had students from University of Michigan coming in to play things for him all the time. So he really has a deep understanding of the tuba. He listened to like all the tuba concertos that he could find. And so I feel like that education that he gave himself really comes out in the piece, where it showcases what the tuba can really do, what the tuba sounds good doing.
And so, I must say, what's really exciting, I thought that Carol would be, you know, doing what most tuba players do, where she'd have a music stand and she'd be sitting in a chair with her big tuba there on her lap. But in fact, Carol is a very athletic person. Michael told me she's actually a triathlon runner. Is that true?
That's
a little bit of that?
False.
That's
but
false.
Okay.
She's very, but this is a very aerobic instrument, and these are two very aerobic performances in that she has a belt that looks like a weightlifter's belt that has a clip on it, and she stands there without a music stand because she's got both pieces completely memorized with this gigantic tuba in front of her, and she plays the living bejesus out of this instrument that, as you know, requires incredible breath control, and it's just an amazing thing to see, a really hardcore aerobic activity, like an amazing sporting event, as well as great art.
Right, the belt strap acts as a harness so that it takes the weight of the instrument and puts it on my hips so that I can still breathe freely. And it's also great because it means I can stand while I perform, which is really liberating after like a dozen years of sitting down practicing. I can actually like look out the window when I play. It's really fantastic for me. But then it also means that during performances, I can wear pretty dresses. So
that's very nice. And also it is why these two people thought that you were a triathlete. So that's good.
Michael told me she was a triathlete, but I figured that made sense.
So Michael, I was struck by something that Carol said that you got to know the instrument so well. So how do you go about getting to know the instrument so well?
Well, just by having people play it and listen to it. And I did listen to all the tuba concertos written in the 20th century. That took me about an hour.
Right,
and,
not too many.
You know. But
not a long.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's funny. Some composers will collaborate with performers when they write a work, and other composers won't. They write the piece, they hand the score, and say, "Here it is." But a lot of the great concertos were done in collaboration with composers and composers with the performers. And going back to Brahms and Beethoven, I believe both their violin concertos, their cadenzas, were written by the violinist who premiered them.
Essentially, certainly in close.
So you know, there's a long history of that. Mm.
And once you have that sense, and then in writing the piece, I assume you constantly hear the instrument, right? That's the
Well,
the
you know, there's
line.
Two things. I mean, you know, one is that, at least for me to be a composer, you want to do something original that hasn't been done before. That's part of being a composer, at least in concert music for me. So I listen to what the tuba can do, then I think, what hasn't it done yet in a concerto situation? So try to explore some new things. And one of those is that I remember distinctly that Carol's teacher, Fritz Kanzig from who teaches at the University of Michigan. He played the John Williams tuba concerto with some orchestra, and it was introduced. Well, we all think of the tuba as an instrument, you know, when you go to the beer hall, that's the way somebody introduced the piece. And I thought, oh my God, that's terrible.
Making fun of the instrument.
Making fun of the
instrument.
And one of the most famous pieces is Tubby the Tuba,
where he doesn't get to play the tune. He just wants to play the tune, and then he sits on it by accident.
So, you know, there's sort of this thing about it. So it's like a great actor. They win an Oscar when they do a role against type. So I was thinking, okay, the first thing I'm going to do is have the tuba play these long tunes. And so immediately we hear the tuba in a new way.
And I've got to say, just to chime in on that, because I feel like this is maybe the most exciting concert of the season, because the tuba is, as Carol said, or as Michael said, such an underappreciated instrument. I have a board member, for example, who's a very enlightened person, and all year she's been ribbing me about tuba concerto. We're going to have a tuba concerto, which is exactly that thing. And what she doesn't know is that the tuba, especially in its higher register, is the most lyrical, expressive instrument. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous sound. And so we really do sort of associate it with these sort of oompa things. And when people come this weekend to hear this and to hear Carol, who's like the reigning greatest tubist on the planet at the moment.
I just love watching Carol, because she's sort of taking umbrage at everything.
They will be overwhelmed at what the tuba can do.
It's
just
nice.
Incredible what she can do and what Michael's asked her to do. It's just beautiful, and it causes one to wonder what the heck is wrong with the rest of the world that tuba soloists aren't featured all the time.
Well, they will now.
They will be now.
That's right. They have a piece. They're well traveled. Excellent. Is the of the tubist community, is that a vibrant community?
Are there lots of active tuba players? I mean, it's a great community, right? I mean, of all the tuba players,
there's a lot of
all buddies and people communicate.
Yeah.
And
yeah, what's great about like tuba players?
Another way of asking that question is, who do you fight for gigs with?
Well, I don't, because I have my own orchestra. I play in the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Hey, you want to go to her Facebook page.
Yeah.
To Carol's Facebook page, and there's tuba players from all over the world that are talking to her all the time.
That's great.
And she teaches at Yale, I should mention. Even though she's she's 29 years old. She's been in the Philadelphia Orchestra for 9 years, and she teaches at Yale. She has a studio at Yale, and she's pretty set. So the tuba world revolves around her, if you ask me. That's how it should be done.
I wouldn't put it that way, but it's a really great community, actually, where I think competitiveness like that happens in other instruments is at least not as prevalent in the tuba community, where you can go to like a festival or a competition where there are a bunch of tuba players and they'll all be drinking together afterward instead of like trying to slit each other's throats.
As it should be, Carol.
Right. Yeah. Which brings up an important point. You have to really be able to drink if you're going
to
be a tuba
together.
Player.
Together, yeah. Forget the knives and fisticuffs. Okay, so for information on the new season and this weekend's concert, go to albanysymphony.com, albanysymphony.com for more information. David, Carol, Michael, what a great pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
have
Joe.
A great time Saturday night and Sunday afternoon.
Thank you. We'll hope to see everybody there.
Thank you very much. albanysymphony.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.